This is Joanna Schrader reporting for DomesticFuel.com, and I am at the Iowa Renewable Fuel Summit in Altoona, Iowa, and I am with Steve Blyle. Steve, how are you?
Good, thank you.
Well, Steve, in case people don't know, he's with Green Plains Renewable Energy. You're headquartered just across the border in Omaha.
Correct.
And you're also the new president of Iowa RFA.
I am. We have three production facilities here in Iowa. We have Shenandoah, Superior, and Lakota. So we're Iowa too.
You are Iowa too, and actually your facility at Shenandoah, which I've had the opportunity to visit, is really cutting edge with some of the technology that you're working on there.
That's probably our most efficient plant to begin with. Plus, it's coupled with some of the best corn bases in the country. So that, and then you start looking at the algae projects that we were building, the bolt-on algae we're doing there. So yeah, that's an interesting facility with a lot of going for it.
Well, the ethanol industry, the biofuels industry, has a lot going for it, but there's been so many challenges that you've had to face in the last few years. The big one, big oil, has been fighting against you for years since the renewable fuel standard was passed, and now the EPA seems to be in their camp with a reduction of volume requirements. At a time when, Steve, I mean, does the ethanol industry, can they not meet these requirements?
I think the numbers absolutely support we can. And that's why I wanted to mention, that's why I kind of stretched it a little more than just straight an advocacy discussion this morning. I wanted to throw in a little more than numbers, not to rain on up what other people coming up behind me were going to say, but if you looked at it, we're right on pace to do 1 billion gallons. So you do the 1 billion gallons and take down the 13.2 pace we're running at, 13.3, you're at the 14.4 number. We're running. We can do this number. We're going to produce 14 billion gallons this year, 14 to 14.4. So the industry could meet the requirement. It's a matter now that the other side of the ball has to blend it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part where they're pushing back on. But,
right.
I mean, we've had such hurdles we've overcome with it, with the Delek announcement, their plans to start blending. You take a look at the Murphy Oil. You take a look at what Lucy here at the association's done in Iowa. Iowa is a motivated state to have higher ethanol blends. They incentivize people to blend over 10%, and you're starting to see that effect take off. We, as a board for the Iowa Renewable Fuels, we've given our operating staff some pretty lofty goals. We want E15 in the state, and that is, they're a huge goal. They're incentivized to go out and say, what can we do to get more people blended? And you heard everyone talking
mm-hmm.
about it today.
Well, it's interesting because I drive a vehicle that can use E15, but to my knowledge, there's only one station within a 30-plus mile radius of me that has E15. I want E15, so Steve, what is it going to take? You're sitting sort of on two sides of the table here. You're on the side where you're producing biofuels, but you're also on the other side where you're buying fuels. How do we get over this hump of getting retailers to offer the fuels that we know people want?
I'm in a unique situation. I will actually write someone at a retail gas chain and tell them, hey, I was at your station today. Your E85 is not competitively priced, and I know what the value of it is. And I do it in a way where I'm not saying, look, I'm not telling you what to price your product at. I'm just telling you, I realize you could be doing so much more. I want to buy E85. I have flex fuel cars. I want to fill up with flex fuel every time I can. But you can tell when it's not competitively priced. The next step is you also do it to the other ones. You call the quick trips. You call the cases and goes, I'm a flex fuel user. I get it if you're not making the investment in E85, but I'd like to see E15 higher blends. And that's what I wanted people to start doing. I'm unique because I talk to these buyers every day on Yahoo,
right.
on instant message, on emails. And I know some of them enough to just drop them an email and say, when are you going to get E15? The normal consumer like yourself, if you like to buy it at Quick Trip, a Come and Go, a Casey's, you've got to go out of your way to say, I'm going to send a note to X and
mm-hmm.
tell them, hey, I want to support biofuels in the state of Iowa. What's your plans for higher ethanol plants?
Well, that's a great idea because I actually have said something to, I've gone into stores before and said, oh, I was going to buy gas here, but you don't have ethanol, you don't have E15. But I wonder if that message is really getting to the people who can bring in that fuel. So to your point, you know, we should probably be going higher. Consumers should really, when they stop in to buy
yeah.
that Coke or that coffee, they should say, hey.
I think you do mention it, though.
Okay.
But again, we were just talking retail, and I've run retail. Those guys are so busy at the retail, they may tell their manager, who may tell their regional guy, who may tell the boss. It gets all the way back up the fuel chain. That's why I think you've got to go to the guy that does the, or the girl that does the fuel. You got to write to Tulsa if you want to talk to a Quick Trip and tell them, hey, I love your Quick Trips. I'm a Quick Trip customer. I'm loyal to you, but I really want higher ethanol blends. Hey, Come and Go, you're an Iowa company. I buy from Come and Go. Hey, Casey, same thing. I think you've got to go. They have to hear that. It's like the EPA. You want them to hear the message. But now we're doing, what is that expression? Think globally, act locally.
Uh-huh.
It's the same thing. We're thinking nationally on the RFS, but we act locally. We do it. We start with our Iowa companies and go, hey, I'm trying to buy fuel from you. I want to buy more ethanol blends.
Well, you know, I think that's a great point, because you did do a very good job this morning of talking about advocacy and how every person in that room needs to be an advocate for biofuels. And we need to tell somebody about it, or, you know, the EPA comment period ends today, but I keep asking people, well, this fight's not over. What can people do? It sounds like this is something people can do locally, is start letter writing campaigns to these retail stations and ask them for higher blends of ethanol.
Absolutely. I mean, that's the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Find out, who do I write to? Find out where they are. And I said in the meeting, Iowa is so unique in that it has three large unbranded retailers that do a lot of business in the state. Don't get me wrong, we have BP and you have Valero's here, but you have three large unbranded retailers that you could write to and say, this is Iowa, here's what we like. And if they keep hearing it enough, they're going to slowly start to migrate that way.
Right. Well, what are some of the recommendations, Steve, that you have for advocacy? You know, what can we challenge everybody that was here today at this conference? And there were hundreds of people here and people who were listening to this interview.
All right. Well, tell me this. What did you think when I made people stand up, and how many people still stood up and said they drove flex fuel cars?
Well, I thought it was interesting, especially when you made the comment that more people are standing claiming they drove flex fuel cars than were in the parking lot.
I walked the parking lot this morning,
yeah.
And it was what? 10 below, 15 below,
yeah.
And I counted them, and we had 56 people standing, and I only counted 34 cars.
So you have to ask the question, does some of them carpool,
all right.
Or does some of them want to pretend they're better advocates than they are?
That's my point,
yeah.
And that's why I was trying to make that point without pointing fingers, and you can sit back down. Bottom line is, there's nothing wrong with the flex fuel car. There's a lot of them out there. We should be demanding it from our local buyers. That's what we should say. This is where we're producing it. We should be using it here.
Right. No, that's a great point. And, you know, and unfortunately, I wasn't standing when you said that.
Right.
But if the E15 comment, I would have stood on that one.
Higher blends. I did say higher.
Yeah, you did
I
say higher blends.
Higher blends.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
but you're having problems finding a place to
yes,
buy it.
Yes, yes,
and
yes.
That's the other side of the equation. So we've got multiple equations we have to solve here.
Right. But I think, you know, Iowa Renewable Fuels, I think Green Plains Renewable Energy is in a very good position. You, as the president, are in a very good position to really work. Put all these pieces together.
That's our goal this year. I mean, that's our focus for the Iowa RFA.
Well, Steve, I'm going to make you a deal. 1 year from now, we're going to be back here.
All right.
And we're going to go back, and I'm going to see how you guys did with your goals.
What's our goal? I mean, what is the measure that says we did a good job?
Let's see, how many E15 pumps do we have?
14.
Okay, let's see, we should double that.
Oh, you're thinking small.
I know. I think we should have...
100. We should have 100 E15 pumps.
100. Okay, that's going to be our measurement of success.
I agree with you.
Okay, and I'll send you a letter on which stations I live by. And
I'll send you an updated
you
list.
Can send
I will
me
send
an
you
updated
list.
List.
Absolutely.
And I will start a letter writing campaign to tell them I want E15.
Awesome.
Awesome. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you.